Bible is, the Bible doesn't try to convince you about God. It just states the fact that in the beginning was God. And you know, it's easy really to believe in a God. But God in the Bible is manifested in such a marvelous way. All the nations, the Bible said, compared to God, is like a drop in the bucket. That's a big God. The Bible teaches us that God knows everything, is all powerful. But you know what, to me, is incredible about it all, is that he tells us to come unto him. He allows us to know him. Amen. And that knowledge, amen, changes our lives. Not just about God, but he invites us to be friends with him and know him in a personal way. Matter of fact, the first couple in the garden walked with God in the cool of the day. It seems like it was a habitual thing. Amen. How many knows that in order for us to survive, we must have that place with God also? Amen. Abraham, the Bible said he talked with God face to face as a man talks with his friend. Abraham did. Amen. Jacob, amen, laid his head down in the desert and saw angels ascending and descending on a ladder. It shook him up so bad, amen, that he called the place Bethel, amen, the house of God. And he made an altar and promised God his life and committed himself to God. That's what we need here tonight. We can have 30 days of holiness preaching and disciplines taught, and it wouldn't help you one bit if you didn't know God that wrote the Bible. Amen. That gave you the grace to live what you know to live. Ain't that right? Amen. Anybody else feel like singing tonight before we preach a little bit out of the book of Revelation tonight? Chapter 1. I just love the Lord, and I know you do. Do you love him? How many really loves the Lord? Has he been faithful to you? Now, I know you're here tonight, and if you've lived very long, you know something on somebody. It's not good. But you don't know anything on God like that, do you? Huh? You ever know him to fail or lie or be weak or asleep or on vacation? Huh? Come on, church. Do you? No. We can trust him. God is good, and he's good all the time. I'm not going to preach very long tonight. I got a habit of telling you that here anymore, but I just want to just get this little thought to you, get you to thinking about it, and maybe praying about it. Amen? And see if the Lord won't help you. We got to have help, Brother Darrell. I know you're like me. I go from one. The Bible said they go from strength to strength in Zion. I go from one strengthening to the next. Amen. That's how we make it, isn't it? Amen. Look it with me in Revelation chapter 1, and then I'll read a verse in chapter 4. And Brother Charlie, what you said to me the other night, I had this message. And you remember I told you, I said, there's a message you need to hear. Well, this is it, praise God. And it's just something he told me about. The Lord dealt with him, gave him a dream about. And I had this message I was working on, and so maybe it'll make sense. But the Bible said, and I want you to go in the first chapter, Revelation, and the 17th verse is where I'm going to start reading. And how many understands what the preacher tonight, how many have studied Revelation and know the foundation of what's going on here? John, who he called himself the disciple whom the Lord loved. How many feels like you're that one tonight that God loved? How many feels that way? Brother, when I think about it, if I was going to write, I'd have to write it down. That's the way John wrote about himself. He said there was Peter and James and the disciple whom the Lord loved. That was himself he was talking about. How many feels amen, about yourself like that. I'm the one that God loves. Do you feel loved of God tonight? Amen. I've told you about it. It's a shameful thing, but I've told you about being heartbroken and in trouble and crying to God and trying to get God to move something for me and open something for me and do something for me. Amen. Brother Keith, I remember asking God, don't you love me? Isn't that something? I was so ashamed that it hit me. As soon as I said, God, don't you love me? Amen. It was just like he opened up and let me see Calvary. And there was his only son hanging on the cross. And I just fell right on the floor. And I said, Lord, I know you love me. Forgive me for even thinking that. Amen. For God so loved the world. That's me, praise God. That whosoever, I remember Brother Cox telling about, amen, that boy's trying to get saved. Brother Mike, you may have heard him preach about it. And he couldn't understand it. He asked this little boy, he said, who is that? Read this to me. Who is that whosoever in this is trying to get saved, Henry? And the little boy looked at him, and I can't remember how Brother Cox said, amen, but he said that whosoever is me, and that whosoever is thee, hallelujah. How many knows that whosoever is me and thee, hallelujah. He loves us. John the Beloved, and you know this may seem erratic to you and unorthodox and not correct, amen, but the one that the Lord loved, amen, because of his testimony, because he told people that he knew God and knew Jesus and loved the Lord, he was put upon the Isle of Patmos, amen, a deserted, rocky island out in the Mediterranean. He was put there as a common criminal and left to die. And the Bible said, John said, amen, I was in Patmos, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. How many knows that you don't have to always have everything going good to feel the presence of the Lord? Huh? I want to preach this little sermon to you tonight, and I want you to understand that John the Beloved was on an isle of Patmos, and he got in the Spirit. And when I begin my text tonight, and the Lord help me preach, but he's already saw some marvelous things on this island, visions of God, of Jesus Christ. He had seen him before, but he had never seen him like he sees him right here. Amen. How many knows that the revelation is not the revealing of what things are going to happen? The revelation means the revealing of who God's Son really is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. It's the revelation. How many? I'm going to tell you something. If you can get the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Antichrist won't worry you a bit. Praise God. Come on now. I said, if you can get the revelation of Jesus Christ, amen, tribulation, amen, is not going to worry you a bit. Praise God. The troubled times that we're in, amen, with our nation and our global world, amen, we need a revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour. That's right. Now let me read it. God bless you. When I saw him, this is John talking, when he saw the Lord glorified and in his revealed state. How many remembers? Can anybody think of anything that I haven't read? I'm not going to read it to you, I don't believe. How many can think of one characteristic that Jesus had? When John saw him, he turned, heard a voice, the sound of many waters. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Got in that little old boat like it froze to death, put that little plastic coat on, went down under those falls. You just move your lips. You can't hear your voice. Amen. John was on this Isle of Patmos. There was nobody there. And all of a sudden he heard a voice as the sound of many waters. Hallelujah. And he turned around and saw the Son of God. Amen. And anybody remember a characteristic of him? He had hair white like wool, eyes like fire, feet like brass. Amen. He saw this awesome sight, and the Bible said, Jesus said, when he saw Jesus, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. You see, he wasn't looking upon an olive-skinned Jew about 5'11" with carpenter's hands and nail prints in them. That wasn't the real Jesus. You understand? I mean, it was, but it wasn't the revealed Jesus. Come on now. Are y'all going to help me preach a little bit here tonight? What we need, Brother Jeremy, is to see the revealed Jesus. Yeah. Come on now. I may not preach this. This has already got too big for me. I can see it. I read a book by a commentator. His name slips me right now. Cal Thomas. And he said, a girl went to a jewelry store and wanted a necklace and said she wanted one with, the cross, the crucifix. And so she didn't really understand it. And he told the jeweler, said, I'd like to have a necklace. And he said, well, which one would you want? And she said, let me see that one right there, that one with the cross with the little man on it. She really didn't understand what a crucifix was, you know. Hey, amen. I want to tell you, that's the attitude. The whole wide world is God. There's a cross with a little man on it. But how many knows that little man was the God of the universe? Say amen. Woo! I'm about to feel like preaching here. I'll tell you what we need to keep this revival burning, Brother Mac. Amen. Is to turn around and hear this voice. Not a little mousy voice. Amen. That says, I don't know if we're going to survive. Amen. But it was a voice with the sound of many waters. Amen. And that voice, when he heard that voice, amen, he didn't stick out of his chest and go swaggering through life. He fell down at the Son of God's feet. Hallelujah. Well, I got a sermon here somewhere. But look what the Bible said. He laid his right hand upon me. And he said this to John, red letters, look at it. He said, fear not, I am the first and the last. You know what Jesus meant when he said, I'm the first and last? Amen. He says, I'm eternal. I'm divine. How many believes Jesus is divine? He wasn't created. Come on now. He wasn't created. Amen. He is divine. I am the first and the last. He said, I am he that liveth. Are you glad he lives? Sweet Lamb of God. Are y'all having church tonight? I'm about to feel that. Amen. He lives. Not past. Listen. He said, I was dead. Listen. Jesus said, I live. I am he that liveth. I was dead. Now, wait a minute. Can that happen? Can that happen? Can a man be living that was dead? He did. He was dead. And now he's alive. That's not all he said. You know, if we just leave it there, Brother Rice, we'll say, well, you've got it to look forward to again. You know, that's the way old Lazarus was. He was in that grave. He had died. Was dead 4 days. Lord raised him from the dead, but you know what happened? He had to die again. But you know, what's this Jesus say? I am he that liveth, and I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. Amen. He's not going to die again. Amen. You say, well, I don't know if I can make it. You can if you know him. Oh, I got to preach my revelation message here if I can get to it. Listen here. He says, amen, and I have the keys of hell and of death. I have the keys of hell and of death. Now, he looks to John and he says, write the things which thou hast seen. Now, I want you to write what you have seen. That's in the past. Amen. And you know, the past is important. Here John was on this island. And no doubt, Brother Tyler, he had things in his past that helped him endure somewhat. He remembered probably seeing Jesus walk on the water. Hallelujah. He probably remembered that last supper they had together when he leaned his head over on his breast and heard the heartbeat of the Son of God. When Judas was leaving, amen. Come on now, John was leaning. And that's where we need to get here. It's no time to walk out on God. It's no time to go out in the night and out in the darkness. It's time we find the Son of God and lean our head on him. Amen. But you see, this is in the past. He said, I want you to write what you have seen. I want you to write about my white hair and my eyes like fire and my feet like brass. Amen. I want you to write about the past, what you have seen. But brother, amen, if that's all John had to go on, it wasn't hardly enough. I need help right now. So he said, I want you to write about the things
things that are. Amen. Are right now. What's going on right now? I'll tell you what I think's going on right now. I think God's on the throne. I think He knows what's going on. I don't think He's weak or tired or wore out. Hallelujah.
I think He's still baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. Anybody say amen? I need to get another amen, brother. Punch Brother Chad right there, would you, sister? Amen. I said, I think He still baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Don't you? Amen. And here's one for you, Brother Henry. He still saves people from their sins. Huh? Think about our past. I'm going to tell you, I like what Jesus said. Now, look, these things are important. I think that what He wanted him to write was the things that which are. And I think that's where the letters, Brother Zane, to those seven churches went. They existed right then. Now, I don't understand all about dispensations and all that. I don't really know how to explain all that. But I do know that there were seven churches in Asia. Amen. And you know, you read all about them. He said, I want you to write about them. Amen. But, brother, that's not really what I want to preach about mostly tonight. He said, I want you to write about something else. Is somebody going to help his preacher preach tonight? He said, I want you to write about the things that shall come hereafter. Woo, sweet Lamb of God. I'll tell you, church, amen, we may enjoy what's going on right now, but what about tomorrow? Amen. I know we say tomorrow never comes, but brother, tomorrow does come. Amen. Come on now, and I'll tell you, in Jesus Christ, it is forever. Somebody say amen. I'm looking for a glad tomorrow that lasts forever. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm about to feel like preaching a little bit here tonight. Is that all right? Praise God. He said, I want you to write about the things that have been in the past and our memories. I like what they write. You may read, you ladies, that Reminisce magazine. It says where the present, the past is perfect. Kind of like an English lesson. Where the past is perfect and the present tense. Amen. That's the way it is. But you know, we just pick the things we want to remember. Amen. Some children have been through some horrible things, Sister Kendra. Amen. But they have a unique ability. Amen. To forget all the hardships. Amen. And remember the good things. Amen. The psalmist said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. But I want to tell you something. There's some of you sitting under the sound of my voice that's not going to keep you going much longer. You say, well, I felt the presence of God in revival. Amen. But Bible said, if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. Brother, we need to get our telescope out. We need to get our pen out. And we need to look beyond the sunset. And we look into the future of the saint of God. Hallelujah. Woo! You think it'll make a difference? Do you think it'll make a difference? It'll forevermore sanctify your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Seeing then that we have this hope, amen, we ought to purify ourselves. I appreciate the good blessings I've had in my life, but that's not what's sanctifying my soul. It's that better day ahead. Amen. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want you to write about the things that shall be hereafter. You say, well, brother, amen, are you getting this? I'm going to tell you, amen, it'll keep you alive. I said it'll keep you alive. Hey, amen, I've never read. Every time I think I've been through something, I'll go read the book of Job. Hey, Brother Mike, I've known people that have suffered horrible things, but I don't know if I've ever known anybody, Brother Tommy, suffer like he did. I think that might be why he's in there. Huh? Because the Lord wants us to know, amen, that, amen, though we have trouble, you know what kept Job going? Well, I know what it was. It was all them cattle he had. Gone. It was his children, and I love my children. Brother, they've been entertainment. I don't have to go to the comedy barn. I had five kids, hallelujah. Huh? Come on now. I mean, they just keep me laughing all my life. They still cause me to chuckle every now and then.
Amen. But I'll tell you something. Job, what's keeping you going? Is it your children or your grandchildren? Nathan, it's the same thing nearly. They're not exactly like your children in a sense, but there they go. Tommy rode home with me the other night, and I just laughed all the way over to the house. He just cracked me up. Amen. But I want to tell you, Job, you're not going to survive on your children. They're gone. Amen. No grandchildren. I know what'll keep him going. Amen. His wife, that dear wife that bore all them children. You know, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know what kept Job going? It wasn't the bulls and the ash heap. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at a latter day upon this earth. It wasn't the nasty now and now. It was the sweet by and by. And I want to tell you what we need to do tonight is get our eyes on the future of the saint of God.
Not to feel like preaching to you. I want you to go to Revelation 4, Brother Jeff. I want you to hear it comes, Brother Charlie. Listen. Hey, do you know what kept Abraham? You know what got Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees? You know what Jesus said? They threw that up to him. They said, we're Abraham's children. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, Abraham saw my day. What? How many thousands of years? Amen. Abraham, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. I'll tell you, you need to put your microscope up, friend, and get your telescope. Now, woo, I feel like preaching. Abraham, amen, I believe, Nathan, when he took Isaac up to Mount Moriah, amen, I believe he understood. Are you listening? I believe he understood that was not Isaac. That was a type of Jesus Christ. Amen, he looked beyond Moriah, and he saw Mount Calvary, and the Bible said he was glad. He smiled. He shouted. He worshiped when he saw the things that were to come. Hereafter. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. I love to preach to you. I'd like to preach that every dry hide in here would catch a fire, including mine. Huh? Read to me. Revelation chapter 4. Listen to this. After this, after what? After the things that were. Those seven churches. Now he says, after this, listen, this is a great verse. Listen, read it. And behold, a door was open in heaven. Great. Brother, I don't know how you feel about doors, but I love them. Brother Zane, I don't know what happened. I've told it here. I tell my whole heart here. But Brother Jeremy, I used to not bother me. I could fly in planes and but somewhere in my later years, I've got this phobia. I can't hardly take close quarters. I still have to go because I'm about to wear myself out driving. And so, but when I get on there, I'm telling you, I want to sit as close to the door as I can on the aisle seat. Nathan gets my tickets on the computer somehow or another, and I say, you be sure. Nathan can tell you. I'll call back a day or so before. Are you sure I've got aisle seats? He said, I just checked it a little while ago. Your aisle seats all the way there and back. Woo! Amen. That makes me feel better. But when they close that old lid up on me, and I'm in there and I know I can't get out, I ain't happy. I'm not happy. Amen. Like that old guy that sat by me, Mom. That time I got up in the aisle, you know, and that little steward said, you can't get up. I said, I can't sit down. And she said, you will sit down. And guess what? You know the rest of the story. I sat down between them two plump guys. I've told you this before. One of them looked over at me, looked kind of odd, and said, what's the matter with you? I said, I got a phobia. He said, so do I. That's why I'm in this aisle seat and not over there where you're at. Amen. But I'll tell you, I sat there, and when finally they pull in, and when they pull in there and just idle them engines, I want to call my congressman. I want to call all the
President, Mr. Obama, can you do anything to stimulate this airplane? Oh, somebody say amen. And brother, when they finally let that door down, I go springing toward the front. Clear the way. There's a door open for Randy Webb, and I'm getting out of here. That's what's going to happen in fourth chapter of Revelation. Amen. Old John was on Patmos, and he saw a door open, and he sprang to the light. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that shall be here.
I dare you to shout me out. Go ahead. Read it, Brother Jeff. Listen to this. Now wait. He saw a door open.
And the first voice which I heard.
I love it.
The first, hold it now. You're going to preach me to death. The first voice I heard from that open door. Huh? You ever say anything like the first voice I hear when I get? I like to hear the first voice I hear. The first voice he heard at that open door. What did it sound like? Read it. Was as a trumpet speaking with me. Well, a trumpet talking? I wish we had one in here. What's it saying? What's that trumpet saying? What's it saying to you? You know what it said to John? It said, now I don't know, you ever hear a trumpet talk? Soldier has. When you hear that reveille, what's going on? When you hear that those other tunes, it talks to you. I'll never forget the first time I heard a military funeral. Amen. Gone the sun. Amen. That old song, the words to that old sad song they played on that bugle. Amen. And we knew what was happening. There was a soldier being buried. His life was gone here on earth. It spoke to us. Amen. I've heard a lot of different voices through the lifetime. I've heard, amen, sad voices and voices of discouragement and voices of disappointment. But brother, at this open door, there's a voice of a trumpet. And that voice of the trumpet says this to John. Y'all ain't helping me now. Amen. He said, come up hither. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? There's a command from the trumpet. Amen. And the Bible said, those that sleep in the earth shall hear the voice of the Son.
I have too. You have too. You're not going to make it on the Isle of Patmos just thinking about what used to be. Or about the folks having church over in Ephesus or Philadelphia. But I'll tell you, hey man, Brother Mitch, how we're going to make it. We're going to hear that trumpet, Brother Jeremy, sound, come up higher. And I'll show thee things which shall be hereafter. The rest of the revelation, the rest of those chapters, all the way down to 21 and 2. Amen, is him telling him what's going to be hereafter. Amen, I believe in the rapture of the church. Amen, you say, what's that word mean? You don't know what in rapture means? To be caught up with such ecstasy and power. But notice what he said, Brother Josh. He was in the spirit when that happened. Amen. I'll tell you what. That same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies. We're going to hear that trumpet voice. It's going to say, move up. The door is open and you can have victory. Hallelujah.
You say that'll help me live right? You better believe it will. Huh? Moses could have had all the riches of Egypt, but he chose rather to suffer with the people of God. Amen. Why? Because he had respect. Amen. For the recompense. What does that mean? That means he was looking beyond trouble and strife and all the cares of everyday life. Hallelujah. We're looking through this veil darkly, but one day the door will be open and we'll go through. Hallelujah.
Have to tell you, I'm sorry, but I'm about to shout right here. Woo! Hallelujah. The other morning, about 3:30, I woke up. No, I didn't volunteer to wake up. I'll tell you that right now. I think the devil woke me up. And the Lord used it against him. I kept trying to think of that old song we sung it. Brother Mike, if you will, when I get done here in about 5 minutes. This old song kept, and I, as many times as we sung it, Mom, I couldn't hardly remember the words. I know the devil was hindering me. Finally, I thought of the first few words of the first verse. And it says, what a happy time, some glad tomorrow. How many's ever heard it? Huh? I couldn't remember what it said next, Brother Kenny. But I just laid there and repeated that over and over and over. I pray a little bit and I'd repeat it. What a happy time, some glad tomorrow. I got up and walked around a little bit. I thought if I get up, maybe I can shake, amen, his 52-year-old brain a little bit and get it to working. I walked around, brother, and amen, and I said it again. What a happy time, some glad tomorrow. You know what I was doing? I was looking at the things that shall be hereafter. And finally, it came back to me. Amen. What a happy time, some glad tomorrow. When we lay the heavy burdens down in this lonesome valley, no more to roam. And I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and I got up and walked around. Amen. Come on now. Having labored on through joy and sorrow, hoping to receive a golden crown, it'll all be glory in that sweet home, in the beautiful city called the sweet forever, where the river of life goes ebbing by. We'll look upon the beauty that fades no never, and happy we'll be while the ages fly. So I title this sermon, what a happy time, some glad tomorrow. When? Tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow never comes. Oh, yes, it does. And when it comes, it'll never end. Hallelujah. I said when it comes, it'll never end. Praise God. Oh, having labored on to joy and sorrow, hoping to receive a golden crown. Somebody say amen. Why don't you lift your hands and worship the Lord tonight? Woo! Woo! I'm going forward, looking into my future. Amen. It's a bright future for a child of God. Amen. There's two, I believe it was Borum, one of my favorite authors. Brother, I think it was Borum was on a train. And there was two soldiers on there. One soldier was a head down, frown on his face. And he noticed there was a guard on each side of him and chains on his hands. He had been court-martialed. He was going to his punishment. The other soldier had a big smile on his face and kept looking out the window. He was going home. It makes all the difference in the world. Now, I don't know how you believe in the coming of the Lord. I believe we all believe like this right now because it feels so good. Huh? Everybody preaches about the same thing. They just don't believe the same thing. You know what I mean? Huh? Huh? That's right. I believe in an imminent coming. He could come today. Don't have to wait on the Antichrist. I ain't serving the Antichrist. Come on now. I'm serving the Christ. When he comes, Antichrist is not going, he ain't going to be able to do it till he comes. And I'll tell you, everybody that goes in that secret catching is going to be a holy saint of God. Are you listening? Amen. I'm a little tired down here. I'll just be honest with you. I'm about wore out. Amen. I'm tired. I've been disappointed on every hand. But I'm still going, and I'm looking out the window.
and I'm looking toward that open door. And one of these days, praise God, my ticket, amen, purchased. Amen. And that's what keeps me singing. That's what keeps us going. When we can't walk good, we don't feel good, we suffer. We come to church and we suffer 3 or 4 days. It's still worth it, ain't it, huh? Amen. Because one of these days we're going to the big church. Come on now. I said one of these days we're going to go to the big church. That's why we go to the house of God, to look through that door and hear that trumpet that gives us an invitation. Come up hither. Hallelujah. In the 3rd chapter of Revelation, and I don't know if this really applies, I really don't know, but the church of Philadelphia lived for the Lord. He didn't find any fault. They were weak. They had little strength. But he told that church, he said, because you've been faithful, you're going to escape that hour of temptation that shall come upon this world. I believe somehow, Brother Bob, that's a connection. Because he says, I set before you an open door. And the door I open, no man can shut. You ever have a door shut in your face? Not this door. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Sister Hildred, you weren't running around this altar tonight because of what's happened in the past. And really, not all about what you felt tonight. It was connecting with what's going to be in the hereafter. Woo, sweet Lamb of God. Huh? Well, can you say praise the Lord? Huh? Amen. It's my little sermon about to come to the Lord. Did you notice? That's my little sermon. The door's open. How are we going to make it? Well, he's going to open the door. How do you think old John felt? Bound on that island. Oh, Lord. I'll tell you what, I saw him arrest a man right out here in front of the church one day. Put his hands behind his back and fastened him in. And throwed him in that back of that little cage seat. And I thought to myself, I would beg him just to shoot me. Don't tie my hands behind my back like that. Just shoot me in the head. Huh? Don't throw me in that little cage and my hands bound. And me, just shoot me. I can't take it. Can you imagine John out there on that island? I don't know how big it was. Not big. Walked to one edge of the coast to the other. Same old thing. Then all of a sudden he got in the spirit. And he saw things that nobody else had ever seen. And here's the good part about it. The door was open, and he had an invitation. Come on up. He saw that throne with that emerald rainbow round about it. He saw the Lamb. He saw the Lamb that took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. He heard him sing, the worthy is the Lamb. He saw the 24 elders bow before him. He saw him open the seals on the book. He saw the 7 trumpets and the 7 vials and the judgments. And he saw all the tribulation. He saw the millennium reign and the second coming of the Lord. Are you with me? He saw it all. He saw gates of pearl, streets of gold. And here's what I think he saw. He saw himself in there because he was in there. He went through that open door. I see heaven, but I see me there. I see my loved ones there. I see you there. And that's what makes heaven to me. Well, I'm done, I think. Huh? I preached tonight to you on what a happy time, some glad tomorrow. Fill in the blank. No more heartache. No more cancer. No more graveyards. No more hurting. No more burdens to bear. No more disappointments. No more bankruptcy. No more headaches. No more heartaches. No more limbs that won't work. No more. I think I want to go through that door, don't you? Huh? And the Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Is that what it said? What did it say? Yesterday, today, and forever. Tomorrow in Christ is forever. Shout out Boho Shaka. Brother Mike, will you help me? Will you, Brother Tom, you feel like helping me? We'll just sing a little of that and go to the house or pray or shout or hoop or holler or say glory be to God.
You that are seeking the Lord, Brother Charlie, that dream you had, there's an open door. There's an open door for sinners to get through. There's an open door for discouraged people to get through. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. In the church of Laodicea, there was a door, but it was shut. And the Lord knocking on that door. That was not a full picture. Are you understanding? The handle was on the inside. I like that open door and that voice saying, come up hither. Amen. Come on now. The door of hope. Amen. The door of opportunity. The door of faith and vision and victory. Hallelujah. The door, the final page. Amen. And see what it's like in the back of the book. Kenzie, I remember Brother Matt Homer said I couldn't preach without mentioning Kenzie. That's okay. Amen. But I've told you this many times before. Amen. But I remember when she was a little girl and I was tucking her in one night, Henry, and she said, Daddy, can I ask you a question? What's heaven like? Huh? And before I could start to describe her out of my Matthew Henry commentary, you know, she said, I can't remember exact order, but she said, Is it bright and full of light, and is Jesus there? And I had to say, before I could say yes, she said, or is it better than that? And then she said, is there green grass and pretty flowers and little children, or is it better than that? And you know, I got on to that. And she said, is there streets of gold and springs of water and birds are singing, or is it better than that? And I just quit and said, it's better than that. It's better than eyes ever seen or ear heard